Our epistle lesson this morning is from the book of 1 John, chapter 3, verses 16 through 24. Hear now the word of our Lord. This is how we know what love is. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with our words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. This is how we know that we belong to the truth, and how we set our hearts at rest in his presence. Whenever our hearts condemn us, that is how we know. For God is greater than our hearts. He knows everything. Dear friends, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God and receive from him anything we ask, because we obey his commands and do what pleases him. And this is his command: to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and to love one another as he commanded us. Those who obey his commands live in him, and he in them. And this is how we know that he lives in us. We know it by the Spirit he gave us. Turning now to our gospel lesson, and that is taken from chapter 10 in the book of John, verse 11 through 18. Listen carefully, because this is such familiar scripture that we tend to gloss over it, and because we've heard it many times before, almost like the 23rd Psalm. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. And in verse 14, it starts off again, I am the good shepherd. But you know, the thing is, we have to remember that this scripture is in the context of the things that went on immediately before it in the book of John. Don't you recall that in chapter 9, 8 and 9, Jesus healed the blind man? The people asked, his disciples came out of the temple after Jesus' life had been threatened in the temple. They had threatened to stone him, and he came out of the temple, and they said to him, his disciples saw this blind man who was always at the gate. He'd always, you know, they had, ever since they'd been coming there, this blind man was there. And they said, this man was made blind before his from birth. Was it his sins that caused his blindness, or that of his parents? And Jesus told them, said, neither. This man was made blind for the glory of God, so that you might believe. I paraphrase. Jesus gave the man his sight. And the man was so excited, and this caused a great amazement, because this guy who had been a fixture in front of the temple all his life had been given his sight. And so they called in his parents. The Pharisees were upset, and they called his parents in, and they said, this son of yours is causing a great commotion and everything, you know. Who healed him? And they said, he's an adult. You talk to him. You know, they knew what the Pharisees would do. And they called the son in, and the son gave his testimony that Jesus Christ had given him his sight. And they said that, you know, they started making bad comments about it. And he said, how could anyone who is not from God give me sight? No one's ever been received sight like this before. It had to come from God. And they came back and they said, you're teaching us. And they threw him, they excommunicated him from the faith of Judaism. And so So here they are condemning Jesus for this, and that is where Jesus decides that he has a group gather around him and he will teach them. So the group that was hearing this was not just his disciples, was not just his followers, but the Pharisees as well. And I'll continue on with 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This is the command I received from my Father. And I'm going to go ahead and read the last two. It says, at this word, the Jews were again divided. Many of them said, he is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him? But others said, these are not the saying of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? And this is the word of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This is one of the scriptures that is in the category. Well, it's a little hard to place in a category because if we read it and we've read the, and we call, we, whenever we read, I am the good shepherd, we always think of the 23rd Psalm and say, the Lord is my shepherd. And it's an extreme comfort. The Lord is my shepherd. It's extreme comfort to us. It is almost always read at funerals as well. To give comfort to the bereaved, to give comfort to those who have lost, to know that our coming into this earth and our leaving this earthly body is in the presence and in the under the shepherdhood of our Lord. But this scripture that he was reading was not comforting to all. It was certainly not comforting to the Pharisees that were condemning him. It was certainly not comforting to those who would not accept him as the Christ, who would not accept that he was from God. So we have to be careful not to skim over this. He says, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and out and find pasture. And he says, I am the good shepherd because I lay down my life for the sheep. The sheep, the relationship of the sheep in ancient times and the shepherd was a unique relationship. The sheep surely were sacrificed and used as sacrifices in the temple. But you have to remember when the Bible speaks about sheep frequently, it is not distinguishing between sheep or goats or other such animals. The goat was raised primarily for food and for milk. The sheep was raised primarily for wool. It had much more value as wool than it did as food. Because anybody who enjoys eating lamb knows that it's only really delicious in its first year. After that, it becomes quite tough and stringy and not the best stuff in the world to eat. And it's referred to not as lamb, but mutton. And it is good to eat if you cook it for many, many, many hours. The sheep's primary purpose was for wool, and therefore the shepherd was likely to know a sheep from the time of its birth till its death. And so that's why this relationship is used as an example for us of God's caring, continual love for us from the time of our life to the time of our death. And we too are to yield forth fruits. The sheep yielded its wool, and we are to yield the fruits that we are given by God. The sheep was also very much like a human being in that the human being really was given very little natural defenses. I mean, the other beasts of the field had teeth and claws and could run 60 miles an hour, 30 miles an hour. They could jump long lengths. They could climb up trees. They could do all kinds of amazing things. But sheep and humans were actually created fairly defenseless. It's only through our intellect, our God-given intellect, that we are able to cause so much destruction in the world today. But our natural state, we were given very little fur, very little natural clothing, very little natural defensive devices. And so God chooses to use the example of sheep to show how much we need a shepherd. Now, while we have been able to create nuclear bombs and guns and warplanes and poisons and knives and all kinds of destructive things in the world that we managed to develop, when it comes to a spiritual warfare, we are totally defenseless. We cannot discern the difference between evil and good except through the Holy Spirit. And that is where we need the shepherd. We have developed greatly over the years and been able to create ways to great things and build great bridges and build great buildings and great weapons of war and great weapons of defense. But our ability to protect ourselves in spiritual warfare is no better, if even as good as it was in the earliest times of man's history. And we are even more dependent than ever upon having a shepherd to protect us, to guide us, to keep us from the evil. And evil is something that many Christians do not like to think about. Many Christians do not like to think about the presence of the evil one. We grew up, most of us, thinking about the devil as something dressed in a funny red suit with a long pointed tail and holding a pitchfork in his hand, and clearly distinguishable from everyone else. But that's not what Scripture teaches us. The Scripture teaches us that, in fact, that he is a wolf in lamb's clothing. He looks just like us. He talks just like us. And he is very convincing. Even as he deceived Eve in the garden, he deceives us today. He doesn't use necessarily great stories to deceive us. He uses logic, reasoning, rationality to deceive us. Those things that are most appealing to us, he uses my ego. He uses my weaknesses. He uses my doubts. We need a shepherd. We need Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "I know my sheep by name." This is a personal thing. This is not a corporate thing. Jesus Christ is not going to draw in Tomahawk Presbyterian Church. He's not going to draw in the United States of America. He's not going to draw in the Middle East. Jesus Christ's relationship, each and every one, is personal, and he knows you by name. He knows what the evil one is using on you to lead you astray. He knows whether your problem is with the keys on a phone or a computer, or he knows if your problem is not turning your eyes away when you should. He knows that if you have a weakness for walking away from gossip. He knows if you have a weakness for drink or for drugs. He knows you. He knows me. And he knows us personally. Because he is the shepherd. He's known us from birth. He knew our parents and their parents and their parents. He knows our children and our grandchildren. He knows them by name. Because he is the good shepherd. Jesus says that the ones who do not know him do not answer him, do not follow him. They do not come into the gate. He is the one who decides who comes in the gate and who doesn't. You are here. I assume that he has called you. He is working in your life. That's a great privilege. It's a great thing. It's everything. Jesus calls us to know him personally, to do his will, to think the thoughts that he gives us, and to reject the thoughts that come from the evil one. Those thoughts of blame and anger, those thoughts of guilt that we just can't let go of. Those thoughts of regret that cloud over the work that he has set before us. Jesus is the good shepherd who guides his sheep. And yes, he is the one who will go and steal his sheep out of the mouth of the lion when he steals them away. I think it was in 1 Samuel, I believe it's 23:11. David tells Samuel that when he was a shepherd, that he watched over his sheep. King David said, "When I was a shepherd, I watched over my sheep. And even when a bear came and took one of them away, I went after him and slayed the bear and took the lamb out of his mouth and brought him back." He was telling King Saul this to let him know that he would serve him and not be afraid. Jesus Christ is willing to go and snatch us out of the mouths of the evil one, to pull us back from places that we never should have gone. But we have to listen to him to calling our name. We have to listen to him and hear his word. We have to trust and believe in him. And most of all, we have to make him our Lord and Savior and our shepherd, and devote our lives to him. He has devoted his life to us. He has given his life to us. As we recently passed through the time of Easter, we still celebrate the Easter in this faith. We know that Jesus laid down his life, took upon himself our sins, sins that we have already committed and sins that we are yet to commit. You know, I don't know about you, but you know, when you make a deal with somebody, when you come up with a price with somebody on something you have that you want to buy from them or sell to them, you want the deal to be absolute on the day that it's contracted. So if you say to somebody, I'll buy that car from you and I'll give you $5,000 for your car, you expect the car to be in the condition that it's in when you get it, when you give them the money. But what if they said, okay, you give me $5,000 for the car and I'll turn it over to you when I get back from my 3-week vacation on the other side of the country. Well, that's the deal that Jesus has made with you and me. Jesus has said, you give your life to me, you devote your heart to me, and I will accept you, even though I know that you're going to continue to sin, that you're going to continue to let me down. I'll pay the price for you. I'll write this in my blood upon you. I will pay the price and trust you. Jesus Christ has shown his love for us. Let me tell you, the world does not love us. The evil one is out to draw us in and to pull us away from God. It makes him angry. It makes him jealous. It makes him furious. It makes him determined. And the closer you draw to Jesus Christ, the more determined he is. But the good shepherd is always there to snatch you out of the mouth of the evil one. The good shepherd is always there because he's already paid the price. And he is willing to accept you as his own. But you have to be his sheep. You have to call him your shepherd. You have to know him as your Lord and devote your life to him and him alone. Even as he has devoted his life and given his life for you, personally, by name. Amen.